We are thrilled to be here tonight, and even though we just got in about 24 hours ago, we're grateful for your prayers, and we had quite an ordeal coming in, but I'll save that for another time. But again, just the proof that God's hand has been in this, again, just step by step, wondering once we made the decision, which we'd been struggling with for a very long time. Once the Lord gave me the courage to share with our men and then with our congregation, 4 days later, we had an offer on the house. And some of the houses that have had for sale signs on them in our neighborhood still have for sale signs in our neighborhood. So we are humbled by this and continuing to be humbled by the Lord as we venture forward and are looking forward to this wonderful opportunity to serve alongside with you for the glory of God. I'd like to invite you tonight to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Probably a very familiar passage of Scripture to you, a section out of the Sermon on the Mount, or to be a little more specific, the Sermon on the Mountainside. They weren't on the top of the mountain, they were on the side of a mountain. And when Jesus was delivering this message, I've entitled the message tonight, Heavenly Hoarding. Some of you have seen the shows. I haven't necessarily seen them, but I have people in our church who tell us that, have you seen this show? They go into these people's houses, and from top to bottom, all they have is a little path that they can get from the top of the stairs to outside the door and into the garage, and they call them hoarders. Well, I guess my wife had an aunt that was like that, because that's the way my father-in-law describes one of his sisters who lived out on the West Coast. She'd come home from work and find something on QVC and buy it. And it would be found in some stack along the way in the house. Hoarding. And in our world today, materialism is an easy venture. It is something that... when you're going through the moving process, you wonder, why do I have this? I wonder if there's somebody else who could use this. And it really is a deep spiritual lesson when you go through that transition as we are. But the point of our text tonight really drives home the point how a religious man handles and holds wealth is an accurate indicator as to what kind of righteousness reigns in his life. What kind of righteousness truly reigns in his heart? We can give to church. We can do the sacrificial offerings. We can do all kinds of things that we're expected to do. But it's how we manage what we already have or what we're anticipating to have reflects of what is going on in our hearts before the Lord. And the Pharisees, we're told in different historical books that they believed, some of them believed God blessed them in their lives. And a real true symbol of God's love to them was how he blessed them. So the more you have, certainly the more favor God puts in your life. But that didn't really necessarily address the question, how did they go about getting it? We can give God all the credit for something that we're really not interested in giving him the credit about because we wanted it, but we justify it by putting the label, well, God provided this for me. Now, I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes here tonight, but I know I'm stepping on mine. You see, it's easy to use God to get what we think we need and to call it a matter of God's blessing, when in fact the Pharisees did the very same thing, and we would be opposed to being called a Pharisee, especially what we know of them today. Let's look at chapter 6 of Matthew, beginning with verse 19. Again, familiar verses to many of you tonight, I'm certain of it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus repeatedly had touched on this matter of fact, and as he repeats in his sermon on this mountainside, he was challenging the listeners to reinvest their lives, diversify, to use a financial term, to diversify their efforts by beginning with reality. Reality. Reality is not what we see with our eyes as Christians. Reality is what God reveals to us through His Word. What is the reality of our spiritual lives? What are we trying to stack up? What are we trying to put into the storage room? We've just recently signed up for these pods, and what an adventure this is going to be. But I got it from a good source that that might be the best way to go. And so listening to these people talking about how you go about packing these things, and I'm looking in my house, and I'm going, I've already sold and gotten rid of and donated such and such, and these pods don't look like they're going to quite hold what we have. And then it begs the question, how much of this do I really need? Now, there's two people that are involved in this relationship of moving. And I love my wife. But there are things that she says we need to take this, and I look at and go, what on earth for? Well, there's a reason. And a lot of it happens to be in the kitchen. So I can appreciate what comes out of my kitchen, and so I don't want to touch anything that shouldn't be touched as to how it might interfere with my appetite. And there are things that she will go along and say, why are you keeping this? And I can go on to some long story, Uncle Henry or Grandpa or somebody, and then after having that conversation, I sit down and I look at that thing and I go, it's been sitting and collecting dust for the last 12 years here. It is going to do the same thing there. Let's find an appreciative owner rather than myself. Sometimes we have to do that. I remember challenging our church a number of years ago. It was a sacrificial offering. And there's this one man, he was in his 80s. Lord allowed our lives to intersect each other at a nursing home that I was holding a Bible study in, and he had become I called him the customer, and he didn't like being called a patient or a resident in that place, so I called him the customer. And I said, well, how's the most recent customer? And we began to talk, and one by one had the privilege of leading this man to the Lord. And as we had conversation and did Bible study once a week, and then also he would come in for the little Bible study that I did at the residence, he began to beckon me with, let's have some personal time. And so we'd go into his room and we'd talk, and he says, when I get out of here, and he was as healthy as could be, and one day he tripped. He was working at Sears in his 80s, and maybe that's the reason why Sears is no longer holding its own these days. But he was working at Sears and fell and broke his hip, had to have hip surgery and all of that, and so he's convalescing in this rest home, and he says, "When I get out, I'm coming to your church." Well, Brother Butts knows where Jamestown, New York is. And this is where he lived, in our little church up in Conowongo Valley, New York. And he drove to church every Sunday morning once he got there. And he happened to hear the challenge that was put before the congregation that day. Now, this was a man who hoarded, but he was selective in his hoarding. He hoarded art, Tiffany lamps, exquisite rugs, and pottery. And he said, Pastor, I really don't have a lot of money. He says, but I do have some things that I know are quite valuable. He said, I want you to take this. And he gave me a box with, to me, it looked like a piece of junk. But he said, this is a Hungarian something another pot. And he said, would you sell this for me? I don't know anything about pottery. I know nothing about auctions. And I said, well, why would you want me to sell it? He says, whatever you can get out of that, I want to put it toward the sacrificial offering. So long story short, we got on eBay, put it out there. Within 4 or 5 hours, serious customer said that he would give so much money to this. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw what he was willing to offer. So I called this gentleman up and I said, Sherwood, I said, I have an offer here, but I don't know what it's worth, if it's even worthy of responding. He says, well, tell me what they're offering. And so I told him. He said, I think we can get more out of it. I said, well, it's up to you. I said, he's the only one that has said anything, and I don't know anybody else who would know anything about Hungarian pottery. He said, well, let's go with it. And that day, that once the money came through, and I went to give him his money, he said, that doesn't belong to me. He says, that belongs to the Lord. And he said, if I can sell anything else that way, we're going to give it to the Lord. And I thought, what a lesson. Here's a man who all of his life has been collecting this stuff. And he heard a message about God's will, the ways in which God works. And he recognized that what he had been hoarding was for himself. And it was time to take what he was hoarding and use it for heavenly purposes and for the glory of God. Where our treasure is, there is where our heart is. It's very revealing if we're willing to take inventory. We need to research our portfolios. Deposits that decay are subject, we're told here in this Matthew passage, are subject to destruction. Possessions can be lost. Oh, I've got all kinds of stories about lost possessions, and my wife's got one. We weren't even engaged very long, and she lost the engagement ring. We know the pain of losing our possessions. God returned it through a breakage in the sewer system at Bob Jones University, and some honest plumber found it. And we're really not interested until after it's clean, if you know what I mean. But we, again, were tested in this area. You can sniff a ring. It smells better now. The possessions that we have and the things that we get excited about. Now, I will confess here, I'm a clean freak to a certain extent. My cars, I'm told by my two daughters and my wife, I'm a little bit over the edge. You will not find hamburger bags or empty bottles in my car. I keep my car clean. Thank you, Dad. But when something gets soiled in my car, yes, I start getting the shakes, figuratively. Why is that? Because I look at my vehicles probably a little too far out there. And there are others who can just tramps in mud, get in their car, and I'm going like this as I'm sitting and watching them get it. And it's their car. But I'm getting it. And why is that? Well, there's two ways of looking at it. I can get real spiritual and say, I'm trying to take care of that which the Lord has given to me. Oh, that just warrants an amen right there, doesn't it? Or I can say, I'm very particular about my cars and I can't give you a reason why I'm this way. I just am. Well, that doesn't warrant an amen. Where is our heart? Are we more concerned about clean cars than we are about clean hearts and clean lives? Are we more concerned about keeping things clean because we care about the opinions of people Or are we concerned about keeping clean lives because we know that it honors the Lord and it's well-pleasing to Him? Now, real simple stuff. But this is what is here in this verse. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do we do with treasure? We clean it, we protect it, we put it in a safe, we have a gun close by. I mean, we do all kinds of crazy things because it's our possession. We put security systems on our homes. We have all kinds of lights flashing on the corners of our houses. Even the garage door flashes when we come up to the driveway. Why is that? Because we protect what our treasure is. But what kind of protections are we putting on our spiritual treasure? The treasure that God is wanting to put in us so that we can reinvest for heaven, for His glory and honor. So deposits that decay are subject to destruction, and deposits that grow and give life have everything to do with the spiritual aspect of our living, of our thinking, of our planning, of our preparing. A lot of people are preparing for retirement. And the closer I get to that age, the more I'm thinking to myself, what is retirement? I asked somebody the other day, I said, so how's retirement? Oh, it's great. Well, my dad was forced into early retirement when he was 58. He would not have given you that answer. He is now enjoying retirement. He's in heaven. But retirement for him was miserable. And being forced into it, even. Unplanned, unprepared. I think there's ways in which we can retire gracefully. And what I mean by gracefully is not so that it looks wonderful, but I'm really emphasizing gracefully, grace, in a grace-like way, to invest our lives in those years where we're not being forced in those hours so that we can give our hours in investing for the Lord. Where our treasure is, there is our heart also. We're to resist the perception. The thought is to stop doing what we're already doing. Stop treasuring up treasure that is not in the heavens, not for God's glory, not for the delight of the Lord, but those things that we continue to accumulate here on earth. Lay not up. Stop it. Stop doing this. That's the thought behind this command. Stop doing the things that you're already doing. Now, the Lord is not saying here, don't be one that doesn't plan ahead. But it's consider where you're planning, where your attention, and where your energies are being put. And that's something I'm learning. That's something that the Lord continues to remind me. That it's very easy to see what's going on in your life if you'll just stop long enough and saying, where is my conversation? Where is my commitment? And where is my, I'll call it change, our treasure? What are we doing? What is the conversation? And where are these things being put? The Lord says to His crowd that day, resist treasuring up treasure. Stop trying to provide for your own means. Stop trying to put all of your efforts in building up resources that you think will bring a happy life. The power that you think you're gaining in these earthly treasures is nothing short of poison, because it poisons the spiritual realm. If you're taking those extra hours just to be able to get more, if you're treasuring up that overtime request or anything else, and it's keeping you from investing in spiritual things, it becomes spiritual poison. Sometimes we think that if we have certain things that we've gained some kind of prestige. Well, that prestige becomes a spiritual parasite in our lives. It eats at us. It eats at our thinking. It changes our focus. And our emphasis of life is downgraded from glory to God in all things to having a little personal self-satisfaction or the peace of mind. That's used an awful lot out there in advertising today. And then we think we may be gaining a position. Well, If we think that we're treasuring up things in order to maintain a position or in order to achieve a position, we really have surrendered to spiritual puniness. God is the one who sets up. God is the one who promotes. And if we try to strive for something that gains us promotion, then our focus isn't on pleasing the Lord, it's on trying to gain for ourselves. And then the third part, portion of this is really coming back to that point in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Luke's gospel, chapter 12, beginning with verse 31, Luke 12, 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sort of a summary statement of Matthew 6, 33. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not addressing the immediate material need. He's addressing the ultimate eternal fact. And it is really a challenge. I think if we all had a few moments after where we could just share about, even this week, how these things have crept into our lives. Maybe you had a meeting with somebody in HR in your business this week, and they wanted to sit down and talk to you about your 401k. Now again, those things are all fine. But all we need to hear is somebody say, well, I really think you should consider something different. And that can throw our entire week, if not the entire rest of the month, into a tailspin. Oh no, I got to do something. And what Jesus is promising here is that you don't have nothing. We have nothing to fear. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The kingdom is not just the treasure of treasures, not just the money detail. It is, number one, a kingdom is reigned by a king. We have King Jesus. We have a kingdom that he rules and reigns. And one day he will rule and reign. He will rule on the throne of David. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years here on earth. And then ultimately in heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords. But we sing, King of my heart, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Is he our king? Do we treat him as king? Well, he's my savior. He is that. But when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about a master, one who rules our life. We have surrendered to him like a bond slave. We willingly put ourselves in that wonderful position of having him as the one to whom we serve. His kingdom, his wishes, his plans, and his desire. And then verse 33 of Luke 12, sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Someone has asked the question, why did Jesus say sell everything and don't bring a whole lot of stuff with you? Because when you serve in the kingdom of the king, you don't have to provide for you. He provides for you. What a lesson that has been for Karen and me these last few weeks. Once again, God reminding us, we know that this is just going to be a short event in our life compared to the years of investment and ministry. But right now it seems very insurmountable. But God has reminded us. And for those of you who've gone through it recently or can still remember the figment of that whole move and transition that you made in your life, God meets those needs. God meets, provides, supplies, and at times overflows. Not that we're looking for the overflow. We're looking to the one, not to his stuff. And again, in a materialistic world, we get caught up in the stuff God, would you give me this? God, would you provide that? And heartily sometimes, and I'll just confess, in getting done and asking for all those things, I forgot to thank him for who he is. I forgot to thank him for the Savior that he is, for the Lord that he is, for the fair Lord and Master that he is. And I'm all caught up in what he can give me rather than what I've already gotten. I have eternal life. I have forgiveness of sins. I have the privilege of being in fellowship with him 24/7. No special number needed. Just the Jeremiah 33:3. And what a blessing that is. How much more do I think I need? Why is it that I think I need more? We need to register our hearts in this matter of where are we treasuring? Who is our king? What kingdom are we investing in? It's significant that there's a switch in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It switches from the plural pronouns to the singular. Lay not up for yourselves, verse 19, verse 20, lay up for yourselves, verse 21, for where your individual, where your treasure is, there will your heart individual be. I've found over the years it's easy to preach to a congregation. It's more difficult to preach to an individual. And the first individual I've always tried to be consistent with in preaching to first is me. Because if I can't get me to heed, what can I expect a congregation to believe and heed? Where my treasure is, there is my heart also. Everyone hears this. Everyone was listening to this when Jesus was preaching it. But it comes down to individual believers choosing the eternality of spiritual things over the limitations and the change of earthly things. You know, new cars get old. New houses need repair. New bathrooms and renovations get cracks and stains. Things fall apart. Second law of thermodynamics, hard at work. But there is no second law of thermodynamics with God. Where those treasures are, they last. Where our treasures are on this earth don't last unless we're investing in his kingdom and investing in people. So the question is tonight, what rules the priorities of our lives? What interests and energies of this earth do we give our lives to promoting? Why do we invest in our education? Why do we invest in overtime? What benefits are we grappling for? Is it just to get ahead in this life, or are we looking at the eternal with the lasting effects on our family? Our families are watching. Young children in our homes are watching. They're listening. They're not missing a beat. Our church attendance is affected by this. Our service for Christ is affected by this. The ministry of our local church is affected by this. True happiness and success are only, underscored, only found in dependence on God and contentment in what he has provided. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's Philippians 4, 11 and 12. And the last passage I'm going to read, and then I'll close with a word of prayer, is Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? And we know a little bit about the man, Solomon, and he had a lot. But we know that he didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom and understanding. God has revealed wisdom and understanding in this area to us from the very passages of Scripture that we looked at, hence from the very words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we consider our relationship with Christ a treasure? Or are we treasuring up things by measure of dollars and cents? Where is our hearts tonight? Where are they? Do we really want God, or do we want what He can offer us? Do we want the prosperity in this world, or the materialistic prosperity? Or are we working at avoiding the pitfall of these things and rendering service and treasure to our King, to our Savior, to the lover of our souls? Father, help us tonight as we consider these words from the lips of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for the Word of God that reminds us that it's good to do inventory as to where our treasure and the efforts that we're putting in this world. Is it for Christ? Is it for Your glory? Or is it for our benefit alone? Are our requests simply, Lord, to get things from You, knowing that You are merciful and full of the ability to bless? But that blessing comes by way of obedience. Lord, may our hearts tonight truly desire and in a fresh way engage to treasure the treasures of heaven for the goodness and the glory of God and for the benefit of those who need yet to be saved. Lord, help us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.